Of all of the events surrounding the birth of the Christ, the Savior of the world, this particular episode that is presented to us from the Gospel of St. Matthew is hands down the most intriguing of all of the Gospel passages. It has brought about so much speculation, so much study, as to who were these magi coming from the east, the land of the rising sun? What was this light that guided them? Was it a star? Was it a comet? Were they indeed kings? The gospel doesn't refer to them as kings. The gospel refers to them as magi. Magi is a sect of priests from the culture of the Persians. They were considered to be wise sages. They were the ones who looked to the stars. They were experts and very proficient with astrology, astronomy, philosophy. They made it their business to discern the movement of nature. Because remember, the Magi are of the family of the pagan world. Up to this time, only the Jews have had the privilege of knowing the one true God and having been called to do the work of this one true God. Remember when Jesus was presented in the temple for the presentation, when Simeon took the child in his arms, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Now, Lord, you may let me, your servant, go in peace. For my own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel." That was the utterance of Simeon. And of course, he had other words to speak about the child and about Mother Mary in relationship to the child. But what he spoke in itself was a foreshadowing of what really is at the heart of the Epiphany. The term Epiphany means a manifestation, a showing. Epiphany and Theophany are one and the same. Both terms mean a manifestation of God. And what's so important about this solemnity today is that it indeed confirms that the mission of Jesus, along with his identity, was not merely exclusive to the Jews, but it was for the whole world. As many of us know, many of our neighbors have already taken down their trees. Maybe the day after Christmas, you saw the Christmas tree on the street. Decorations came down. But in many, many cultures in the world, today's solemnity of Epiphany is a tremendous celebration. The people are going crazy right now in other parts of the world because of what this feast means. And think about the genius of Matthew, the gospel writer. His community was predominantly Jews who had come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. But also in the midst of the community were Gentiles who had come to believe as well. Now, you know, one of the great controversies that continued into the early formation of the church, we hear about it in the Acts of the Apostles, and many of the letters of St. Paul deal with the issue. There were those who were considered to be Judaizers, those Jews who held the conviction that anyone outside of the Jewish heritage would have to be required to be circumcised and go through every single aspect of the law in order to be bona fide and truly a follower of the Messiah of God. But as it goes, and as we hear it today in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, this was not the case. He said, "The mystery from ages past has been revealed to me, who have been given the stewardship." His stewardship was to go specifically to the Gentile world and make it known to them. This child of the promise is for the whole world. All are invited. All are called to salvation in Christ. We notice the details: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold, symbolic of a king. The frankincense, for the worship of God. And the myrrh, a balm, an ointment that was used to anoint kings and priests, but also to prepare a body for death. It had an aromatic, it had a perfumed scent to it that would help to suffocate, if you will, that would stifle, if you will, the odor associated with death as the body would decay. So we see these particular gifts being carried by the Magi as confirming the identity and also, again, the mission of Jesus, the Christ. Did you also notice that the Magi entered the house of Mary and Joseph, not the manger? It's interesting how much of what we look at or understand about the gospel has been in some way influenced by popular art. It's like, you know, we three kings of Orient are. But the gospel doesn't call them kings. They're magi. And why three? Because the gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Three, it's just, well, three kings, three gifts, and this is how it goes. But again, the gospel itself is truly highlighting for us the theological message that the gospel writer wants us to get in touch with. This child, this God child, huh? The God man is for the entire world. But I want us to focus on the Magi, or as we have traditionally referred to them as, the three kings. Tradition gives us their names: Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, all of which representing all of the major groups, the ethnic groups of the world, all of the different races of the world, and even in some cases age groups too. One is considered advanced in years, one's kind of middle-aged, and one is younger. I want to share with you an illustration entitled The Gifts, which I think really gives us something to ponder on this solemnity, in fact, going forward in our relationship with the Lord. There were a group of high school students who were putting on a Christmas play, which they themselves had written. In the afternoon before the play's performance, the students suddenly realized that they had forgotten all about the three kings in the story. The director of the play hit upon the following solution. He would phone three people at random and ask them if they would stand in for the kings. All they had to do was bring along some gift which was especially meaningful to them, and then explain in their own words why they had chosen that gift. The first of the three kings was a 50-year-old father of five. He worked for the town council. He brought along a pair of crutches and explained, "Some years ago, I was in a head-on collision on the highway. I spent many months in the hospital with broken bones. No one was sure that I would ever walk again. But I tried and tried and used these crutches for weeks. During that time, my whole attitude changed. I became happy and grateful for every little daily success. I learned to take nothing for granted. I bring these crutches as a symbol of my personal thanks to God." The second of the three kings was really a queen, a mother of two children. She brought along a bundle of diapers and baby clothes. She explained, "I was very happy and successful as a graphic artist. Then I got married, and the bottom fell out of my life. My husband did not want me to work anymore. All he wanted me to do was stay at home and take care of the house. Then along came the babies, and they needed me. But after they grew up, I was again lost, until I began to put talents to work in creative art classes for children. I bring along this bundle of baby things to show that it was the little ones, the babies, who brought a new meaning into my life. I feel that by working and helping in their little world, I am bettering the whole family of mankind." The third king was a young teenager. All he brought along was a blank piece of paper. He laid it before the infant Jesus in the crib and explained, I was not sure whether I should even come here or not. My hands are empty. I have nothing to give. In my heart, I long for success and a meaning for my life. I'm filled with doubts and questions and unrest. My future looks foggy and unclear to me. I lay this empty sheet of paper before you, child, in the crib, and ask you to bring me an answer to some of my problems. I feel empty on the inside, but my heart is open and receptive. How much time have you and I spent before the crib in light of the mystery that has been revealed? What if we were called to stand in as one of the three kings or magi? As we would stand before the crib of life as it is, what would we be willing to offer this child? God has given the best gift he had to give to the entire world. The question, the challenge is always there for us. It's something worth pondering. What am I willing to give to the life that has been revealed to me in the crib of Bethlehem in Judea? God love you.